welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. This is episode number 31, and finally we have back Hernani Jobert.
Hello, Manuel.
Out of the desert.
Yes.
Hernani, where have you been? Have you been in the desert?
No, not in the desert. I wish I would be. I'm just struggling with my move out of address, and I've been here and there. Crazy
okay.
stuff.
Well, today we have a busy show, lots of things to talk about. We're going to start right away.
Happy New Year for everyone.
Yeah. Actually, you are recording a bit late. Usually you record by the end of the year, so you're right to wish Happy New Year to everybody. And as I was saying, I'm going to start right away with the latest topics, things interesting that are happening in the PHP world. Let's start by the latest release of PHP 5.4.10 and PHP 5.3.20. Well, basically, this is a release just made of bug fixes. There is not much to say about this. So just if you are using these versions, take a look at the changelog page. They tell you exactly what were the bugs that were fixed, and you can check it out if it was anything important to your applications, anything that affects the way your applications work. So this is one kind of regular release that is happening practically once a month. But now we are getting closer to a release of the PHP 5.5.0. This time there was a release of a second alpha version. Basically, one of the things that was already introduced in this alpha version was the extension of MySQL that was from now on deprecated. And this is an interesting topic that I think we should comment a bit in detail, because as you may see here in this page, there was a vote that took place on December 10, and it was not exactly a consensual decision. I think it was like 2/3 of the people that voted for the approval of this deprecation. This is a topic that we already discussed this in 2011 about the plans to eventually deprecate MySQL sequence, the original MySQL sequence that has been with PHP since, well, practically the beginning, since it was introduced. I'm not sure if it was in PHP 1 or PHP 2. Well, anyway, it was one of the first extensions to access SQL databases to be introduced in PHP. And many, many applications use this extension to access that databases. So I think this decision to deprecate now in PHP 5.5 will have a great impact. Hernani, what do you think about this decision? Would you vote in favor or against it if you were to vote for this proposal?
I understand that PHP has to proceed with the future implementations, etc. But I am against removing compatibility to the backward versions, just because there are a lot of products, even on the open source world, that provides facilities to the user. And having them, those teams, which are open source teams, so people dedicated to work on those solutions, they won't have enough time to deliver new functionalities, just because they will have to adjust their code to the earlier versions, the newer versions of PHP. So, in my opinion, I think you can deprecate and mostly throw warnings just to make sure that the developer is aware But I don't like the idea of having people removing functionalities. I know it's hard and tough to maintain, and sometimes there are bugs that affect other versions, etc. But I believe that the PHP group should motivate other developers throughout the world to make sure that they maintain those versions. And I believe that there is a lot of C developers that are willing to contribute. And I think that the more contributors available, the better.
Yes,
but I don't think that's the key thing of PHP, since it has been a closed group and very hard to assist, in my opinion. And I believe that this is a very political decision, and I'd vote against it. That's
yes, the reasoning behind this deprecation is to encourage people to use the MySQLi extension, which is very similar, but just as a change in function names, and also it introduces the support to prepared statements that somehow help people to avoid security attacks. And this is the main motivation towards pushing people to use the MySQLi extension instead, or eventually the PDO MySQL driver. But it is not clear for me if in the future version it will actually be removed completely from PHP. For now, it's just a few notices, warnings that will appear for the deprecation.
Yeah,
and then.
I see on the release, on the documentation, they already went there and updated it. So
right, it seems they are very eager to announce this deprecation.
And they state very clearly here that this extension is deprecated as of PHP 5.5.0 and will be removed in the future. So that kind of states very clearly that they will be removing it.
Right, let me show it here. Well, it's very clear, as you said, and they encourage people to use other versions. So on one side, it has a constructive purpose, which is to educate people to use a different extension that pushes the use of prepared statements, and eventually will make people write code that is more secure. But that does not mean that people that use the old MySQL extension would not be secure. It's just an assumption that things will be different. Well, for now, this will just be an annoyance to see any deprecation statements on newer versions. And I'm afraid this probably may not work as they intend. It will discourage people to upgrade to newer versions that issued all these warnings. As happened with PHP 5.0, it was rejected for a long time. People avoided it because they did not want these warnings. But let's wait and see how the community, PHP community, will react. And actually moving on to another topic, I was trying to also share the screen here. Which it's a topic that's pretty much related with all this push to newer versions. There is a proposal discussed by Pierre Joual of the PHP Core. This proposal is not exactly new, but now with PHP 5.5 in the
streamline
and the alpha versions, it's getting closer to be released. The intention is to release it no later than June. They are planning to determine the end of line of support of PHP 5.3 already. They want to push people to use newer versions, and it seems they are very eager to do so. They are trying to put a lot of pressure because PHP 5.5 It's not a very old release. It's still being maintained, and lots of people are using it. And when
you mean
we define
5.3, right?
Right. When we define the end of 5.3, you practically will be pushing people to move on to a newer version.
Right.
On which they will have to deal with backwards incompatible changes, and there are several of them in PHP 5.4. And this is a very problematic topic. Hernani, what do you think? Would you feel comfortable to be pushed to use newer versions, or you are fine with it and you don't mind to be upgrading regularly?
I mean, PHP is a community, and since it is a community, we have to go with the flow of the community. But I'd prefer to make something work as it is, because the idea here is to focus on the achievements of the solution. And if it works, and it possibly probably have bugs, but those can be addressed as the bugs are identified. But the idea here is to make things work. And if it works on older releases, why would we have to lose time or put focus on new functionalities instead of having to address changes? Okay, they aren't very big changes. So it's kind of... if your code is well-structured already, you can make changes very clearly and very easily. But the idea is it's sometimes a waste of time. And on companies looking for profit, or communities having developers, open source developers, taking their time, dedicating their time to work on these solutions, these products, of course, that there will be a time that will be taken into consideration to make this effort change to at least be compatible with newer versions.
Right, and as you said, there is a cost associated to all these updates that you need to do on code bases. And if you have products that have large code bases, that cost may become very significant. And it may not be the right moment to upgrade. So that's the what I see people doing. If they figure that they need to invest a lot and the cost of the upgrades will be very high, what may happen is that they avoid upgrading PHP altogether. Well, that, I mean, when they control the version that they can use. And well, we have to see how the community will react to all these pushes towards newer versions. For instance, one large community that I'm curious to see what they will do is the WordPress one, probably the large community of a PHP application.
Right.
Because there are blogs based on WordPress everywhere, and if we have to wait and see. But also talk about new features, and moving on to the next topic, I'm going to let me screen share here. There are several proposals that are sort of tied with each other. Starting with this one, we already commented on the previous episodes, but this is a proposal that has been improved to address several concerns about the implementing property accessors done with a different syntax, which basically allows you to define functions for getters, setters, as well as set and unset functions, if you need to actually have those functionalities wrapped on functions. And this was something that has been discussion for quite a long time, and the original proposal already evolved a lot, but There has been a newer proposal that is different, addresses a different concern, which is the type hinting of class variables. And this prompted the creation of a new proposal that combines both proposals of having a new syntax for property accessors with type hinting. So there is this proposal here by Nikita Popov that combines the proposals to consider both things. As you may see here, we have this, for instance, in this case, date time class declaration for this date variable, and then you have the getters and setters for this variable. And so this proposal combines the two. From what I could gather, this will be what is at least closer to a final implementation. It is interesting that you can define automatically to have generated getters and setters for these functions without having to explicitly write the code for it. I think this is a positive thing because it would be tedious, but still, you in the default case, when you have public variables with the getters and setters that do exactly what is the default, which is the same as accessing the variable directly, you still have to explicitly state that you want getters and setters. Hernan, you've been working a lot with in the Java world. In the Java world, it's a common practice to go through the bureaucracy of defining getters and setters. And do you see this a positive, I would say, feature, a measure? Do you think it will reduce the boilerplate enough to justify this new feature that is this definer? What is your take on this?
Yeah, of course, that implementing getters and setters allows you to provide better code and benefit from reflection and situations like that. But as well, it's a new functionality and it's kind of a standard object-oriented approach. So it's nice to see that PHP is catching up on that area as well, because this enriches the language. Another thing is I see that having a procedure can help you and can bring problems. The only thing is the only thing here that I foresee is some developers are not used with this kind of situations, and they will have to learn. But learning is always good. Knowledge is something that nobody can take out of you once you have it.
It may take you time as well.
Yeah, that's the key thing. Time is also a currency sometimes. And but it's nice to see this going through. I don't have anything against it. I like to see what I see, but I'd like to see the future of the language as a backward compatibility situation.
Yeah.
And I hope that they don't break other things just because of those benefits.
Right. Well, in this case, it will. What they are heading is not backwards incompatible. What will be incompatible is the new code that you will use this syntax. But that's up to the developers to use it or not, so it's not a big problem. Well, anyway, moving on with the podcast, now I'd like to comment also briefly about a discussion that went on the PHP internals list. It is interesting that a developer named Lars Torosny questioned the PHP Core about if they would be willing to participate on the PHP FIGS framework in interoperability group, which is basically a group that was formed to define common standards for PHP code. And this group has been defining several specifications, PSR 0, mainly for namespaces used in your code, PSR1. This is something,
just to make an observation here, Emmanuel, this is something which I've been saying at the beginning of when we started doing PHP classes podcasts, yeah. That we should have a such group which tries to document proposal requests as well as standards and stuff, and it's nice to see that this is going through.
Well, but this in practice is not exactly what you requested. You probably wanted something more like whatever's in the Java world, which yeah. are HR groups that define specifications for APIs and things like that. And for now, what this group has been defining is just coding styles. You should format yeah. this code the code this way and that, tabs versus spaces, brackets where they should appear, where should you put your function arguments, and things like that. We do not see yet the level of specification that you see in the Java world.
There is always a beginning, right?
Right, but it's nice to see that at least they're already there for 4 years.
Yeah, but they are trying to improve it, and they are trying to grow it. The idea is to see companies, good companies like Oracle, like the proper Zend company, and other companies like IBM, other companies, software providers, having members of their interests and their products that are on top of this, proposing other things such as design applications, API applications.
Yes, that would be great, but that's not what is happening. They've been years discussing the way you format your code, which it's a major waste of time, because there will never be a consensus, because it's too late to define these things. And they are already here defining these coding styles, and from where I can see it, there are no companies in there. There are only a few developers of frameworks, because this is mainly focused on frameworks. Having frameworks define the same coding styles. So in the hope that they could interop better. But that's all they have done for now. And the problem here is that they have been here for 3 years, and they are not moving on to the level of the standards that are defined in the Java world, which are, for instance, if you want to have a specification for an API for sending email, which is something that PHP needs a lot. The basic functions of PHP for sending email are very basic, and you need a lot of components to format emails. I mean, not visually. I mean, composing the different parts of the email, and there should probably be a specification to define a common API, and then you would have different frameworks to implement the very same API. And this is what does not happen in the with frameworks. If each framework will implement their own API for sending email, their own API for accessing databases, their own API for things. So that is probably what should happen, and happens in the Java world. That is not happening in, at least until now. They are wasting a lot of time in internal discussions about the way they should format code, and the reason why I brought this here is not because of that point. It's because somebody went in the PHP internals list and asked somebody of the PHP core to go there and also participate. And the basic response they had from the several PHP core members is that it's not that they should be defining how their code should be formatted. Because what the PHP fig group is defining does not represent what every at least the majority of the PHP developers want.
Right.
And that's something that is probably impossible because this came very late. And you are not going to change the formatting style of the code of people that have been programming PHP for a decade. And that is the problem. And so basically, there will be no liaison of the PHP core with the PHP fig, because one thing they comment is that they do not want to seem as if the PHP core is endorsing this specific coding starter.
Right.
If you are going to think about popularity, you probably should give preference to WordPress coding standards, because WordPress is much more widely disseminated than any of the PHP frameworks that are being supported by people in the PHP fig.
Exactly.
And they have this coding standard for years. And this coding standard is basically just for people to contribute to WordPress. And then, as you may see, it's just a bunch of conventions that are also not consensual, but are probably being used by the majority of the PHP developers that use WordPress. If you want to define plugins and submit them to the plugin repository of WordPress, and that is the goal of that. And this is basically to repeat something that we already commented before, which is we are spending a lot of time defining coding standards that probably are irrelevant, because if you format your code differently, it will still work. It will not prevent interoperability. And even, for instance, naming styles of functions in PHP, there it's irrelevant, because PHP, the function function name case is insensitive. This means if you use camel case or steadily caps, it doesn't matter. You can have a different formatting in the code that calls a framework that is different from the naming format that of the framework. And this is my opinion. I'm sure it's my opinion, just mine. Many people will not necessarily agree with that. But just to summarize, that's basically it. And other than that, I also like to know from you, Nani. I think you already mentioned something in the past about this, but probably to just for our listeners to listen to a different opinion or not. What is your point of view? Is it really worth to invest all these 4 years they are there to define coding standards for all the code is formatted? Shouldn't we be moving on to actual coding standards for specifications? What do you think?
First of all, I love to see people working towards the benefit of the community. That's the main thing. And I respect their effort, truly. The only thing I see here, it's there is a lot of people wasting their time on specific details. Details like syntax. Okay, they are required to have a standard or a convention. Conventions are always good, because then everybody can have their code more maintainable. That's also one point. The only thing I'd see as a true effort, not trying to minimize their effort already done, but to see companies getting involved into this. And we here in PHP classes, we don't just criticize others. The idea here is to see watchers from this podcast and try to give them the ability to do better things as well. And I'd see as a better thing, as an improvement, to try to also focus on standards, like as you said, an email API, a standard for sending emails. We can see the complexity that sending email brings just by looking at the classes that you already provided, and lots of people use this. And although some other people criticize PHP classes has provided a lot of improvements on the PHP functionality, and a lot of users uses your forms classes and your email sending classes and your SSL API.
There are like thousands of contributors, and
right. But since
PHP classes, it's by far, it's not just me.
But since you were one of the first, those classes were one of the first ones, like the Miami Mail right. classes, etc., they began to be used by users from a long time. So the idea here is just to try to approach people, regular developers, to what is an RFC standard and how to adapt your PHP language right. to an RFC standard, and try to bring the RFC standards to what PHP is and how to do it in PHP and why doing it is a benefit. And right. that's the key point. And try to provide a big group of people and companies willing to vote to improve the whole ecosystem, not only just small steps like conventions and things like that, right. but more broad perspective of PHP.
Well, what already happens is that at least for core functionality, there are RFCs, but the core functionality does not allow different implementations. And this is, I think it's one of the greatest things in the Java community is that, for instance, you can define an API for application servers, and you have different companies, different providers to implement the same APIs, so the market can choose the provider.
And
you can switch from one provider to the other. Well, in theory, there may be some minor issues, but the original idea that's that. And that, for me at least, that's what I like to see. I don't know what is your opinion on that. Is that something that you'd like to see?
Let's take, for instance, SQL language. There is the ANSI language. There is a standard. So throughout that standard, other vendors like database vendors, Oracle, MySQL, Microsoft, and other providers can do their own implementation of the standard. And having a good standard and a well-defined code convention and etc. would bring other products for PHP world. And we would like to see products coming through as well. So one aspect of this is if you see, as you already stated, the application server world, Red Hat has acquired JBoss, which was an independent group, and that brings some kind of benefit to the brand, the Red Hat brand. But throughout the JBoss, you see application servers, you see rules engine, you see every other things that is tied to the application server. And now JBoss ecosystem has a whole set of ecosystem that can be used as a single product to deliver those tools to the world. And what I'd like to see on PHP is not just particular frameworks, particular HTTP servers, particular database vendors, and try to combine them all together, but to see companies and open source groups also focusing on a more professional and scalable architecture as well. That's one of the things that I'd like to see on the PHP.
Yeah, well, this is a topic that will give a lot more to discuss, but we do not have the time. I need to move on, and this time I'm going to talk a bit first about an article that I wrote based on an initiative that happens every year in the PHP Classes site. Although you can generalize and relate it with the PHP community, which is what I call the PHP Zeitgeist. Basically, this is very similar to the Google Zeitgeist. That
It's sort of on a retroactive situation about the last year of PHP, right?
It's a retrospective of the year and based on the searches that were found to be popular during this year. So I wrote this article basically to analyze what were the results. First, it explains what is the PHP Zeitgeist, and there is a page for the PHP Zeitgeist. It's not this article. It's this page here on which we can see. Let me see if I can increase the font of the the list. Basically, it shows a ranking of the top trending searches in 2011. You can also see the trending searches on the previous years, but this time it was the 2012 that was published. You see lots of keywords here, and these keywords were the keywords that gained a certain significance during this year. The way this works, very briefly, is that every year I pick the top 3,000 searched keywords, and then I look on previous years and see which keywords have raised to the top 3,000 that were not featured in the previous year.
When we can see that migration is one of them, as we were talking on the beginning of this podcast, migration is one of the 100. If you would see the position 99 or 98.
Oh, yeah. Well, go and figure what that means, because maybe I don't know what people were thinking about when they searched the PHP Classes site for migration. Maybe they were looking for articles, not exactly packages. Articles on the
or
blog.
Or tutorials.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. This, we would have to ask the people. And if it features here in the top 3,000, it's because it was not a small number of searches. Anyway, what the article shows, it's a... this is subjective, but at least is some analysis of what were the top trending groups of searches that users have been doing. And I considered like four groups. One of new web applications that became relevant in 2011, like Instagram, Google Drive, Tumblr, Pinterest, Google Plus, SkyDrive, although SkyDrive is older, OpenStreetMap, Google Maps. Well, these are not necessarily new applications, they're just applications that became more relevant this year. Another group is the API access and authentication with using social network accounts. Many sites are looking to be able to provide those login with Facebook buttons or login with Twitter buttons. And there are some keywords here that demonstrate that. Another group that I saw it superficially. Because I only found a few groups that may demonstrate that is some concern with mobile applications.
Right.
With searches like for mobile detection, jQuery mobile, and sending SMSs from web services. And also the WhatsApp, which is an application very popular on mobile devices. And what I see here is that more and more developers are concerned on developing web applications that will also work on mobile devices, being either on mobile browsers or native applications that need to access certain APIs.
Yeah.
So they need to somehow access them from those applications.
And one of the key changes, I believe, in 2011 and 12, I'd say, is the growth of the need of having an API, a public API or a private API. Because from the API, you can grow your product either from mobile perspective as a native application or a mobile application, but as well as a web application or a closed application. And the need of a public API is very, very increasing. And it's nice to see from other developers. I'd like to see from other developers, such as I've seen Frappy, which is an engine from PHP world. And it would be nice to invite them here to explain us what Frappy does and why it's being implemented that way. Because Frappy, I've been using it, and I like what I see. I just feel that it requires more documentation and more broad adoption. Mm-hmm. But it's something that we don't see very often. It's an engine that generates public APIs and private APIs. And also, PHP developers will require in the future to adjust their systems to provide such facilities.
Right.
And have you ever thought, and that's a question that brings to me here and to you, the owner of PHP Classes site, in that sense of question, have you ever planned to adopt a public API or... have you been trying to move forward in that scenario on your website to focus on mobile applications?
You mean to provide an API or to access other APIs?
No, I mean to provide more social interaction with your website.
Well,
as a sense of provider.
This is already happened this year, and this is something that was also mentioned in this article. I'm going to talk a bit about that ahead, but just to finish with the fourth group here, which is e-commerce and payments.
Okay.
And we can see lots of searches for things that are related with e-commerce sites and payment systems. I think it is even funny that some of these searches are specific for Brazil, despite that Brazil only represents 5% of the users of PHP Classes site. I can see several searches that are certainly specific of this country. Well, anyway, but now that you mentioned about APIs and things that you that were related, one thing that I wanted to comment on this article too, because I usually have an article on which I talk about what has been done in the site in 2012, but then when I found time to do it, it was already Christmas. I did not have the time to do it before, so I decided to merge that topic in here in this article and just briefly comment what were some of the improvements done on the PHP Classes site on this year. There are some improvements on the Friends of the Site ranking, and for those that want to know more about this, they can read the article, and it has some links to the relevant sections. Another thing that is related with APIs is to somehow make the registration login of the site less painful. And this is required to use the what I called before the social login support, which basically uses OAuth and other APIs to allow users to authenticate using their Facebook account or Twitter or Google Gmail account or Hotmail, any account of Microsoft, Yahoo, and Stack Overflow, which is a source of many visitors, as well as GitHub. Now you can use your GitHub account and log in the PHP Classes site. Actually, you can also use it to register in the site. The site will use your email that you used in the other site, the social login site, so you don't have to go through the pain of verifying your account again. So the registration and login of the site are much less painful because you do not no longer have to remember your username and password. As long as you are logged in your social network, it would be Facebook or Google Plus, or you do not even need to have an account of Google Plus. So this was one use of APIs now that you are asking. Another use of APIs that was done in this year is that now you can link your social network account with your PHP Classes account, and every time you, for instance, you publish something on PHP Classes site, automatically the site can post your timeline, so you don't go through the tedious process of announcing it yourself in your social network accounts. And this is great because it also helps the site to bring more users to your components, your classes, in case you are a publisher of components. If you are not a publisher of classes, you can also benefit participate in this linking of social network accounts to spread about important things like announcements of the classes that were that won the innovation award and other interesting things like blog publication of blogs in the main blog of the site and so on. So this was one views of APIs, but I'm not sure if this is one thing that you are asking or more
yes.
Guided towards the site providing an API for some purpose.
I've been following those changes, and those are amazing contributions that you did for the PHP classes world. And it's almost impressive to be able to do so on your own. And I admire you for your effort on doing this. But the idea here is a future basis to see other providers, like perhaps another PHP portal, to interact with your portal or provide RSS feeds as you do already, but in a more elegant way throughout an API or throughout a sort of a mobile application. Do you have any particular things in mind to do
well,
in that area?
It certainly depends on what may be the uses for that, but one thing that I have in mind is whenever I have time, I would like to play with PhoneGap or Titanium to provide a native mobile application for very specific things, for users to access their accounts and check information very quickly, and that would have to require the use of some APIs. So that's where I see the use of some APIs.
And now with the mission things and the sorts of authors' progresses, there could be also games tied to the PHP classes world, right?
Well, I don't know, because we can always imagine things like that, but somebody would have to develop them, and that takes time.
Right. Would you see? Let's imagine. Let's try to picture this. This scenario. Imagine I am a developer, I like to develop games, and I have an idea that would require, from your perspective, from your being the owner of the site, to provide me some access to some data from your website, and then I require an OAuth key and etc. to interact with your API.
Right, that will eventually happen, because it will be necessary, at least for those mobile applications. Now, having a general API for people to develop generic applications, like for instance you have in Facebook, that is interesting. It is a matter of having a use case. So if there is a developer that would like to implement some application that would benefit from some OAuth integration to access users' accounts on their behalf with their permission, of course, that can be done. And I think it's a matter of time until I will do that. Now, between making it possible and seeing that happening, it's something that
requires effort.
Goes along. Because somebody would have to have the motivation to do it. But, we have to wait and see. But definitely I will have some support to access APIs with our OAuth keys.
And designing a good API, it's a science that it's not very known so far.
Yeah,
I've seen some videos here and there how to exactly... And in a more elegant way, to have a great API, a public API that you can deliver to developers. And it's nice to see that the PHP world put some focus on this, because Frappy guys, those guys from the Frappy engine, have been doing a great work on this. And it's very nice, because it can provide also documentation. Yeah. For free.
Right. From what I understood, I did not see that very specifically, but from what I understood, if we are going to use them for some purpose, you probably would better implement all by yourself in your site, because it's just that is just something that probably will not do the bulk of the work. Well, at least that was the impression that I got. Well, anyway, there will be a lot more to say about this. And the last thing that I mentioned in that article was precisely about something that is already common: the system missions and levels that we have. It was implemented right in the end of the year, and it was very interesting. And anybody that has interest to know more about this can look back in the. There is a video and there is an article explaining that. We don't have much more time in this podcast. We are practically reaching the end, and I think
probably as things goes through and this mission system grows more, we will probably have an episode dedicated to it, right? That's the idea. Is that true?
Yeah, right. Well, there are been some news, but the enhancements were minor in terms of user interface. It's better, but there will be other new things to be announced later, and we'll probably get back when we announce that and talk more a bit about that, because it is always interesting, specifically for those that contribute to the site. And the only thing that I will say for now is that this system, despite it was only released late November, it already encouraged many developers to increase their participation. And just so you see an example of something that shows how many developers have been embracing this system levels of mission. Let me just share the screen here, and there is on the status page that shows. Oh, sorry, I need to log in here very quickly. But very basically, the status page shows you something that demonstrates how many users have been joining those missions. Let me just open here very quickly, and as you may see, there this page has lots of fine animation. There are some enhancements, like as you may have seen, there every time the site needs to point the user to do something, he will be pointed with a circle around the.
That's very cool.
The mission. But what I wanted to show here is not exactly this. This is actually new. It's something that shows you, for instance, the missions that have been that you have completed. You can actually see the briefing of the mission, even if you already completed here. And the one new thing is that it shows how many users have completed that mission already. In this case, it is the very first mission. 270 users have completed this mission. This is a lot of people to embrace this system, and it's growing every day. Every day there are new authors engaging on these missions, and this is quite interesting. This ties exactly with the next topic that we are going to talk about in this month, which is the latest contributions sent to the site, starting from the JS classes that we always try to mention, just to encourage developers also to contribute there. So this month, as you may have seen, it's like, if you're not mistaken, it's like 14 new classes submitted in this month. And this is already a consequence of this system of levels and missions. People seem to have liked a lot of this new system, and they are encouraged to contribute more and more good classes. So the original purpose of encouraging developers in more classes, more, not just in quantity but also in quality, I can see it is working well. And specifically on about the JS classes, there was this goal to reach 200 published classes so we could start the innovation award that we have on PHP classes site, also started in JS classes site. And that goal was reached precisely now, thanks to many contributions that started to be sent right after this this announcement of the system's levels and missions. So this is great to see. This is working very well, and it works as an encouragement, at least for me, to continue to improve on these initiatives. And what I can tell you about 2013 is that I have very exciting news developments that I'm planning to implement. I'm not going to comment about them right now, but I can tell you that it's certainly something along these lines of motivating more people to submit more classes with all these encouragements to make it more fun and engaging.
Right, and even, let's put it this way, let's see in the what I see in the future as a sort of a lack of creativity, but not a lack of creativity, but the opposite of it. To see developers providing games, trying to beat the knowledge of developers and to measure them, and to see people trying to assess tests involving PHP, as well as mobile applications going through your right, system right. and trying to increase the social aspect of the developer as a right. as the badges and etc.
Right, that is a widely disseminated pattern of development sites and also mobile applications to make sites more fun to engage and contribute. And one thing that I can tell is that one of the things that I want to implement is it will motivate not only authors of classes, but also other users that are not authors, but they can also participate in the site, helping other users to execute tasks that they want to execute in the site, being searching for great components or other things that in the end make the site more useful and fun to participate after all. And as I was saying, this ties to the next topic of this podcast. We are reaching the end, but we have time to mention a couple of first classes of JavaScript published on the JS classes site. Hernani, which ones do you think would be more interesting to comment on, in your opinion, this month?
Oh, yeah. I already have it on my screen, the two picks from my month. And
can you use the font?
Yes. On the JS classes site, I've chosen the loader JS JavaScript file or library from Lucio dos Anjos. He's from Brazil, and I like the script because we've seen more and more asynchronously loading requirements to load files, and depending on the situation where you have a mobile application, a mobile HTML website, and or with the Bootstrap situation, we've seen websites being developed for specific devices, and sometimes if you have to load it everything all together, you start to clutter your web browser memory. And the idea here is to optimize the amount of I/O that your website requires on every single request.
Right. Also, and to reduce the time to load the pages, which is very important to keep the sites usable. So I think it was a great contribution from Rafael that just sent this component for loading any other external JavaScript component dynamically. So other than that, what would be the other components you'd like to talk about?
Right. The second one, I try to vary my picks. One is the useful thing, and the other one is the fun and the nice innovative situation. This is a Node.js module. Node has been very, very powerful, and the applications that Node brings is amazing. And to see that happening, we see a crosswords board on a console terminal. So you can create crosswords board from a list of words, putting them into different locations and try to put a map, sort of a game. And this has a sort of a academic thing, because people can then understand how crosswords can be done in programming, as well as a a game. It's a complete game, so you can see from screenshots here the how it looks. And you can evolve it if you want. You can bring it to different user interfaces, and it's very cool to see those things coming through. Yeah.
So that one was from Igor Escobar, also from Brazil.
Yeah, I was about to mention the author name, but since it's so cool, I was focusing as well on the actual code. Yeah, but as you already stated, it's from Igor Escobar, from also Brazil. Congratulations, that's very cool.
Yes, that was great. And on my part, also to mention a couple of JavaScript classes very quickly. Well, I'm not sure if this is large enough for people to see. Let me try to increase a bit. Well, this is basically a jQuery plugin. Well, everything now is a jQuery, but in practice, it would not really require jQuery. It means is that people also used to jQuery that now they do it everything with jQuery. And this one by Iksan from Indonesia, what it developed is an interesting plugin that does something that is not very trivial. What it does is let me, I was wondering if you had an example maybe off-site. No, well, it doesn't provide an example, but let me describe you very briefly. What it does is, for instance, if you have a form with several fields on which some of the fields are calculated based on the other fields, for instance, if you have several fields and one is the total, you can assign a formula to that total field, and this plugin automatically calculates the formula, the result, the value to show in that field that is calculated. And this is not very trivial what is done, because it developed a parser that looks at a formula and evaluates the formula at the runtime, and they use JSON, which is the equivalent for JavaScript of the Bison parser grammar parser generator, and it generates part of the code of this component with the JSON. And it's interesting to see that this site, this kind of components that require greater maturity from the developer are being submitted to the JS classes site, and certainly will make the site better for everybody. And the other component that I would like to mention is one that is also more related with fun than with the utility of the component, which is that game, the 15 puzzle game, which is made of 15 pieces on a 4x4 square, and you have a vacant space on which you need to move the pieces. So you can see how it will work. As you may see here, is the game will end when the pieces are by order. Well, this is just
that's
to give you an
cool
idea what this component does. So it is more useful for people to learn how to do it, not just rendering the pieces, and also to elaborate a game based on some JavaScript that you can present on a web page. So,
I don't think I've seen somebody from Armenia contributing to the site before.
Well, there are not many contributors from Armenia, but Mark Rolich, which is the contributor of this component, has been submitting quite a good bunch of interesting classes, and I hope he continues to do so, because usually his classes are not very trivial to do something that is very interesting and always useful for people to learn from. So with this, we move on to our final section, on which we comment on the Innovation Award winners of October. They were nominated in October, they were voted in November, and then in December the results came out. So moving on right away to the from these 10 nominations, which would you like to highlight, Hernani?
Right. My picks for the PHP's website goes through Artur Granizewski. He's from Poland. His component is named Best, and it basically analyzes the version of your Apache, your PHP, and other. I don't think there is other things, but it provides you a list of vulnerabilities if there are any. And I don't know if it suggests you to upgrade it, but as you can be aware of the vulnerabilities found.
Right. Well, the idea is just that, is to tell you if you should be concerned about the vulnerability that you have on your PHP or Apache version that you are running. So that's what it does. It first detects if you are running PHP on Apache, and then it tells you what are the known vulnerabilities. And over time, I'm sure he's going to update the class to tell developers about the vulnerabilities of newer versions. So other than that, which other class would you like to mention?
Sorry, my mute button here was...
I thought there was something odd here.
Yeah, the second pick for the PHP classes website goes to Gianluca Zanferrari. He's from Netherlands, so I guess he has some Italian relative. But it's nice to see this component because it's very useful, and I can see lots of applicabilities. Basically, you can capture a person's signature through JavaScript. He provides that library. But the thing is the usage of PDF functions here, which right. can then attach the image to a PDF using the components. I think it's, I've seen here, FPGI package.
Right.
It parses a template from a PDF document and then inserts the image and generates the final document with the inserted signature.
Yes. Well, it has two parts. One that it works on the browser side to capture the handwritten signature on the screen. So it assumes that it will be like something like a touch screen. And but the PHP part that is what made this class be nominated is to merge the signature in an existing PDF document, and that's very useful. And on my part, I also would like to comment on a couple of classes. If let me screen share again. One of the, those classes is by Mikhail from the United States. Well, basically, it does something interesting, although probably it's something not everybody will find useful, but it takes a math formula expressed as a string, and it renders it as a SVG chart, and it makes rendering the formula, gives it a visual presentation of how the formula would be rendered on a chart. So this is interesting, despite it, it's not exactly something that will be useful for everybody, but I'm sure many people will find it useful. The other class that I would also like to mention from Luis Martinez Ulloa from Peru, which is basically something, it's actually a very simple functionality, but I think it's very useful and innovative because I did not find any other class that was published on the site for this purpose, which is to be able to generate PDF documents using the FPDF class. So it is extended it to make the documents automatically print, be sent to the printer when they open. So I think it inserts some JavaScript in the PDF documents. So if you want to send a document and want somebody to print it right away when he receives it, this class is very useful. And so kudos to Luis for his contribution. And with this, we practically ended our podcast. We have discussed lots of topics, and I know that there are other topics that we'd like to cover, but then the podcast would became larger than would be reasonable. So I think with this we end our podcast. And on my behalf, that is all for now. To see you back in the rest of 2013. So bye.
Bye-bye, guys.